Good morning, my friends, and happy Easter. We continue to gather in this season of Easter and celebrate the presence of the risen Christ in our midst, and I'm glad to see all of you here this morning. I'm especially glad to welcome our visitors today. We hope that you have a chance to meet some of the friends who are sitting around you this morning at the passing of the peace and after the service. One of the ways that we get to know one another is by signing in. We have registration pads on the end of each row, and if everyone will sign in, if you're visiting with us, I believe you sign in on the yellow side, and that will help us know that you were here, and if you share your address or email address with us, that'll give us an opportunity to reach out to you and invite you to participate in some of the ways we're trying to live out God's love in our community. Once you have filled out the registration pads, if you're sitting on the aisle, center aisle here and would be willing to tear off the pages that were signed in and place them on top, that would be a great help to our ushers after the service. Wonderful, exciting news, our directories are here. Yay! We have a table out in Reed Hall with all of our pictorial directories available. If you had your picture taken, there might also be a free portrait off to the side. Those are in alphabetical order, so look for your picture in that stack as well. We are having a diaper drive this month all the way through Mother's Day for Hope Clinic for Women, and we especially need sizes 3, 4, and 5 of diapers, and that is an enormous help to families who are struggling financially. So if you are in the Walgreens or in the Kroger and want to grab an extra bag of diapers, that would be great. We'll collect them downstairs by the magic doors. Also wanted you to mark your calendars for Saturday, May 12th. We're having a big recycling day in the parking lot, which will be an opportunity to recycle computers, to bring old medications, to have things shredded. It's a service to our community and a big help for our environment. So that will be May 12th from 9 to noon. And finally, I'm going to invite Bill Ferris and Danielle to come forward and share with us our ministry moment.
Good morning. Good morning. Last August, when I was up here, forget to put the mic up, we talked about starting our 20th Habitat House, and we learned about Danielle and her family this morning. Danielle has a few words she would like to share.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to take the time out to thank you all for contributing, you know, in order to have to provide a home for me and my children. I also see some people out there that actually came out and helped. Thank you all, and just thank you.
In September, we, the church, will start on our 21st Habitat House, and next Sunday's communion offering goes to our Habitat build. So, remember, we pledged $30,000, so next week, remember us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all for being here. We told Danielle she could do the ministry moment during the announcement so she didn't have to sit through two sermons. So they came to the early service and are heading out for the day. And we are here in the house of God to worship and continue our worship as the Holy Spirit moves among us. May we open our hearts and minds to receive and experience God's love for us this day.
What is it?
Thank you. Let us gather this morning
to read scriptures, witness the word proclaimed.
Let us gather this morning Let us gather this morning. What is to prevent us from worshiping in the presence of God? Let us now confess our sins before our merciful God in the prayer of confession. Loving God,
we confess that we have sinned against you.
Church, hear the good news. While we were still sinners, traveling on a wilderness road, Christ came to us and entered our hearts, showing us how to live and love. Dear church, you are loved, you are forgiven. Be at peace. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The image of God is in you.
And also in you.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Logan and Leslie Matheny bring their son, Amos William Matheny, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Leslie and Logan, as Amos's parents, I ask you, on behalf of the whole church, these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture this beautiful child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? My friends, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, will you say, "We do"?
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround him with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. And in the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb, and he was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
And what name have you given this child?
Amos William.
Amos William. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now I'm going to invite you both and Brandon here to join me in laying a hand on him as we pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in his life. Amos William, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, Mr. Amos, we're going to take a little walk and get a little bit closer to your church family. Amos is the name of a great prophet in the Old Testament. So who knows how God will work through you to spread God's love in the world. But I tell you what, these are the people who are going to teach you about God, who are going to show you how much God loves you, teach you the songs of the faith. One of them might be your confirmation mentor. These people are your friends in faith, and they're going to pray for you and love you as you grow in God's love.
Will the congregation please stand and face this child? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Amos William to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Escuchen la lectura. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, And as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. La palabra de Dios para el pueblo de Dios. The word of God for the people of God. Gracias damos a Dios.
Seated. Guys, come on up and join me. Oh, we got more coming. Yay. Had a lot of early risers. Lots of kids at the 8:45 service this morning. I'm glad to see you here today. I wonder, come on up. I wonder if any of you knows what it feels like to be left out. I have two older sisters and an older brother, and sometimes as the youngest, there were things they could do that I couldn't do when I was left out. I remember when I was in third grade, there was a girl in my homeroom class who had a birthday party, and two of my best friends were invited to her birthday party, but I wasn't invited, and it really hurt my feelings. It's really hard to be left out. I hope you've never had that feeling, and I hope you never do. But in our Bible study this morning, we meet a man who's been left out. Because of who he is, he's not allowed to worship in the temple of God. And so he's really sad about that. But you know what? God goes to find him. God sends a man named Philip to go and meet him and tell him all about God's love and tell him all about Jesus. And to say, you know what? You're included. God loves you too. And that's kind of what our job is as followers of Jesus, to try to welcome everybody and to make sure everybody knows that they're loved and included in God's love. So what does that mean? That means maybe if you're at the playground and you see somebody sitting by themselves and feeling sad, maybe you could go up and say, hey, do you want to play? Or if you see someone maybe sitting at the lunch table at school, if you're in school, and they're by themselves, maybe you could go sit with them and say, hey, I'd like to be your friend. There are all sorts of ways we can share God's love, and you guys are especially good at it. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for loving us so much. And thank you for always reminding us when we come to church that you love everybody. You want us to share your love with other people. So help us find ways this week where we can welcome somebody, where we can include somebody, and help somebody feel your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. You can go back and sit with parents or grandparents or friends. Ever since Easter, I've been preaching from the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts. It tells the story of how the church went from a little band of believers in Jerusalem to Samaria and beyond and beyond. And by the end of the book of Acts, we find the Apostle Paul in Rome. We see how the church grows and grows and grows. The official title of the book is The Acts of the Apostles, but some have suggested the title should actually be The Acts of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit really is the main character in this book. The Spirit is on the move throughout the whole book, changing and converting people and spreading the love of God and the news of Jesus Christ through his first followers. When we hear this story today from the 8th chapter of Acts, the Holy Spirit is really the main character. It's the Spirit who moves Philip to go to that wilderness road. It's the Spirit that guides their conversation and leads this man to ask to be baptized. So the Holy Spirit is the main character. But I'm also pretty interested in these two supporting actors. We have Philip and the man from Ethiopia. Now, who were they? What are their stories? Well, you might think that Philip was one of the 12 disciples. There was one of 12 disciples whose name was Philip, but that's a different Philip. This Philip, in this story, is a new Christian. He was a Greek-speaking Jew who came to believe that Jesus was the Messiah in the very early days of the church. And he is so full of the Holy Spirit, so excited about the gospel of Jesus, that he's willing to tell anybody. When we meet him in this chapter in this 8th chapter, right at the beginning, he is in all places in Samaria. Now, we know that the Jewish people and the Samaritans didn't like each other, right? They would not sit at the same table to eat a meal. We saw Jesus from time to time in his ministry reaching out to the Samaritans, but Philip is the first one to go into Samaria and preach the gospel. And lo and behold, a bunch of them believe. And we have the Church of Samaria born because of the witness of Philip. And as that ministry is getting going, Philip hears the call of God on his life again. And the Spirit says to Philip, go to this wilderness road somewhere between Jerusalem and Gaza. Philip doesn't ask any questions. So full of the Holy Spirit, so excited, he just goes where he's led. And there he sees a chariot with an odd-looking man in it. A man unlike he's ever seen before. This man is from Ethiopia. And my guess is perhaps that Philip had never seen anyone from Ethiopia before. So what do we know about this man? We only get about a verse of description, but the verse tells us a lot. We don't know his name, unfortunately. All we know are the labels that he's been given by his society. He is from Ethiopia. He is a eunuch. Now, we don't know the whole story, but it's likely that at a young age, perhaps as a child, his parents decided to dedicate him to the service of the queen, the Candace. And so at a young age, probably he was castrated and then educated so that he could then serve in the guard of the queen. We know that he's well educated because he's reading the scroll of Isaiah. And obviously he's risen up the ranks because he is now head of the queen's treasury. He is a wealthy and powerful man. He has his own chariot, for heaven's sake. So he's there in all his splendor in his chariot, and Philip goes to meet him. But we can fill in some other blanks of his story as well. The story tells us that he had gone up to Jerusalem to worship. Now, he would not have been a Jewish person by birth, but there were Jewish people living in Ethiopia. So maybe somewhere along the line, he had heard about the God of Israel. And there was something about this God that stirred him, and he wanted to know more, and he wanted to worship this God. And so he went to the trouble, the expense, and the time to travel all the way to Jerusalem to worship in the temple of the God of Israel. But my guess is when he got there, he didn't have a great experience. Maybe initially, someone recognized that he was a foreigner, that he wasn't Jewish by birth, and so they might have said to him, now, you can go into the courtyard of the Gentiles at the temple, but you can't go any further than that. You can't go where the Jewish people go. You just have to stay on the outskirts. And maybe as he walked up the steps and got ready to go into the temple, someone recognized that he was an official of the queen's court and that he was a eunuch. And then someone said, I'm sorry, you can't come in at all. Because you see, it says in the 23rd chapter of Deuteronomy, in the law, that anyone who is a eunuch is not allowed in the assembly of God's people. So he had gone all that way to worship God, to grow closer to God, and the door was slammed in his face. I wonder if that's why he bought a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. It wouldn't have been cheap. But maybe he bought that scroll so that he would have some link to the story of this God, some way perhaps to connect with this God. And so there he is in his chariot, making his way home, rejected and alone, trying to read the prophet and make sense of what the words meant. And that's where God sends Philip. God sees this man who has been rejected because of who he is. Something about himself that he cannot change. And God loves him and chases after him and sends Philip. And Philip goes up to the chariot. Bless his heart, he runs up to the chariot. He's so excited to meet this man that God has led him to. And they begin to talk, and the man invites him to get into the chariot, and together they read the prophet Isaiah, and Philip begins to tell him about Jesus and the love of God that has been made known to the whole world through Jesus. And then the man comes to believe. He accepts this love for himself, and then he asks Philip what to me is one of the saddest questions in all the Bible. What is to prevent me from being baptized? What I hear in that question is there anything about me that would make me unworthy to be baptized? You know who I am. You know what I am. Can I still be baptized? Can I still be included? And Philip, God loved Philip. He doesn't even say a word. He just takes this man, and together they jump into the waters of baptism. And that man's life is transformed by the grace and love of Jesus Christ, and the church is transformed. Suddenly, the church that was this big is now this big. You know, the Christian church in Ethiopia is one of the most ancient churches there is. And I think it's because of this man who was chased after and included and welcomed, and he went on to spread the gospel in Ethiopia. One of my favorite composers in the church right now is Mark Miller. He's a United Methodist, son of a preacher, and he's writing all sorts of anthems and hymns that, to me, speak so profoundly into our 21st century church. And one of my favorite songs of his is called Draw the Circle Wide. It's a very simple lyric that is sung over and over again. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. Let this be our song. No one stands alone. Standing side by side, draw the circle wide. That's our mission, my brothers and sisters. We are called to be like Philip, to go and seek out those who've been rejected, those who are alone, those who are lost, and proclaim the good news to them that they are beloved, that they are worthy, that they are included. There are so many people right here who feel alone and rejected and who have on their hearts that question, is there anything about me that would prevent me from being included? There are people in the condominiums just on the corner here, lonely and asking that question. There are people sleeping on the benches at Centennial Park, lonely and asking that question, am I included? Do I belong? Is there anything about me that would prevent me from being welcomed? And our joy, our purpose, our mission is to go and tell them the good news that there is nothing that would ever prevent them from being fully included in the love of God and the life of the church. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. No one stands alone, we'll stand side by side. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. No one stands alone, we'll stand side by side. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. The song that we sing, the faith that we affirm each week, reminds us that we are not alone, that no one stands alone. So let us join together in the affirmation of faith found on page 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please find one of the gray cards that's located in the pew racks in front of you and fill that out. You may indicate if those prayer requests should be confidential or if you would like them to be shared, and you may place them in the offering plates in a few moments as they make their way down the pews. This morning we offer sympathy to Sarah Stamps and her family, who are mourning the death of her brother, Norman Cooper Frost, who died Monday, April 23rd, in Atlanta, Georgia. Services will be held on Sunday, April 29th, at Sandy Springs Chapel in Sandy Springs, Georgia. Our prayers are also with Margie Hogshead and her family, who are mourning the death of her mother, Dolly W. Hogshead, who died April 25th in Birmingham, Alabama. Services will be held at Rideau's Trustville Chapel in Birmingham on Tuesday, May 1st. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of everlasting grace, we give thanks that we are able to gather in your presence this day. You are indeed the God who has created each of us and who reaches out to us in perfect love and who draws us all into your circle of goodness and righteousness. Help us remember that nothing can separate us from your love and strengthen our compassion for all of your children. Lord, we know in Jesus Christ, you have opened the way of life for all persons. In you, we find hope for deep peace and divine justice. We pray that the love which you offer to the whole world will shape it to be evermore as you would have it. Make us instruments of your peace, O Lord, and may we know that your Spirit moves most actively on the margins, in people and places we least expect. Help us remember that you are the God of the afflicted and the suffering, the forgotten and the abandoned, the persecuted and the misunderstood. We pray that you would lead us into an active faith that takes us to the margins, for we know that is where we will always find you. Spirit of life, invigorate us this morning. Enable us to be agents of your merciful love. Heal our communities, the ones we love, and even ourselves. We pray that all who are in need know you this day and would sense your living presence. Restore in us your image that we might know whose we are and who we are called to be. Uniting and transforming God, hear these prayers and our personal petitions as we enter a time of silent prayer. And now, as your beloved children, we join our voices together in prayer as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us offer our tithes and offerings that they may be used to draw God's circle of love ever wider.
My guess is that you are here this morning because someone along the way said to you, "You're included. You are loved. Welcome." May we leave this place with those same words on our lips, with our actions expressing the love of God. And as we go, may we know Christ's peace and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.